Hey, it's Vic Nizar. Have your say and join me on The People's Show with big takes and even bigger bets weekdays 3 to 4 on Sportsnet 650 or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up? Welcome to Canucks Talk here on Sportsnet 650. Jamie Dodd and my co-host, Canucks insider Thomas Drantz, also covering the team at The Athletic. Canucks Talk brought to you by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Be a champion on the worksite. Find them together online at DLEAMC.com. We are live from the Kintec studio. Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? 650. 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. Drantzer, Canucks game day, one of eight remaining in the regular season. And what, we're still 2.5 weeks before the start of the playoffs, likely? It's going to be a long 2.5 weeks, I think, getting from here to the fireworks factory of the playoffs.
I agree. We're in slog territory now, but there still are games that, you know, are going to be interesting.
Oh, yeah. People are like going, tonight.
Tonight feels like one that's going to be ripe for overreaction one way or the other. You know?
Unlike most games, which we, you know, everyone here in Vancouver just handles seamlessly and moves on without overreacting way or another.
But when it's the defending champs, that overreaction gets like the dial turns up to overdrive, right? The you can see the headlines tomorrow where it's like Canucks have proven they can win the big game, or like the opposite, right? Mm-hmm. And for like a game decided after regulation. and you know, that's not what this is at this point. You know, I thought the commentary, and we didn't really get to it because it happened in part after we were done, or we were in the last segment, but the commentary from Tocchet on the Brock Besser maintenance day, mm-hmm. right? Well, he hasn't missed a practice yet. I felt that ringing in my ears as I thought about the evaluative trouble with this point in the year, right? Like the idea that there's a number of practices you should miss from Tocchet,
right?
Mr. Practice Habits, puzzle guy.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, doesn't that speak volumes about the shift in priorities and the shift in priorities that we should match?
Yeah.
In terms of the tenor of our analysis and sort of, you know, how much blood and guts
what
are
we can
in these
learn
games
from these final eight games. Yeah, it's a tricky line to walk. There's no doubt about it. Let's get into the whiteboard for today.
All right, now, fellas. Hey, let's focus up, huh?
It is your daily deep dive into what's up with the Canucks for today, April 2nd. The headline is the Canucks are in Vegas to play the Golden Knights, the defending Stanley Cup champs. First of a three-game road trip, finally back out on the road after that, three-week, nine-game homestand that took up most of March. And we've talked a lot on this show about the up-and-down season, mostly down, to be honest, in terms of underlying numbers for the Vegas Golden Knights, how much of a wild card they are. They're still not fully healthy. Tomáš Hertl won't be in the lineup tonight. Obviously, Mark Stone remains out. Since March 1st, so not a huge sample here, but since March 1st, Golden Knights are 8th in shot attempt share in the NHL at 5-on-5. Canucks are 9th in that time frame. So only a 14-game sample. I don't want to overstate it too much.
No, but
But are they finding their game a little bit?
They are, but what's their save percentage rank?
I don't know. Because
that's what's been killing them.
Yeah.
They have found their game. Their goaltending has been letting them down. And a Vegas team that seems to be re-entering second or third gear, 8 games out from the playoffs, or 7, as it were, for 8 games. I mean, that's definitely a frightening prospect for everyone on the Pacific side of the mm-hmm. bracket, without doubt. We know what this team can do when they turn up. We know what they can do when they're healthy, and we also have no idea what they'll look like come playoff time. It's a miracle. Like, I can't think of a team that's been harder to handicap.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, maybe in the last 5 years, 10 years, Can you even think of anything analogous? Like the Avs when you didn't know if Peter Forsberg would be back and what he'd look like? Like, is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, I think sometimes there's teams, like I even think back to like the Blues going into the playoffs when they won the Stanley Cup,
right? Okay.
Because they were so bad to start the year, or at least bad at the bottom of the standings.
Yes.
Then they get on this really hot run. I think sometimes with those teams, it can be hard to know what to make of them going into the playoffs,
for
right?
Sure.
When there's like two halves of the season are so different.
Yep.
This team has just been, I think because they won the Stanley Cup last year, I still kind of default to they're going to be scary once the playoffs roll around. But
I also think
there's plenty of reasons to doubt that. Like, that's not a slam dunk opinion by any means.
Well, and I'm curious to see. So the Canucks and the Kings lost last night to the Jets and have kind of dropped a couple in regulation. Now, they have a really soft schedule the rest of the way. They don't leave the state of California. We're talking Kraken. We're talking Sharks. We're talking Ducks twice. And Calgary. Like, the only good team LA faces the rest of the way here is Vancouver.
Yeah.
So, you know, not that it's settled by any means, but we are back to that dynamic where staying ahead of the Oilers, who dropped a point last night, kind of really matters because it gives the Canucks the ability to lock, you know, this Oilers team that's been such a juggernaut outside the first month of the year into a first round matchup against the defending Stanley Cup champs. You hope it's heavy. You hope it goes long, right? And
yep.
You hope you get a diminished version of one of those teams on the other side. Both teams that, you know, I think a lot of people would price as being legitimate contenders. And so I'm curious to see, like, is Vegas motivated tonight
to try to avoid that Edmonton matchup?
Are they motivated? And there's lots of reasons they could be motivated. They lost on home ice to the Canucks. Was that the last time they met? Yeah,
3-1,
yeah. Right? So they lost to the Canucks the last time they met. They might just want to sort of prove that they're still top dog in the Pacific. But I am curious to know if, you know, that logic, right? That, like, this is actually a consequential game for Vegas and probably a more consequential game for them than Vancouver, given the bearing it could have.
It is interesting because there's two ways they could avoid Edmonton, right? One is Edmonton catches the Canucks, which they can facilitate here. The
right.
other is the Kings catch Vegas,
right?
Which would be facilitated with a loss here. You
right.
know what I mean?
So it doesn't matter.
But I think for Vegas, for a team that, as you mentioned, has just lost on home ice and that in general has struggled to find their rhythm, I imagine they're just focused on, we'd like to win some games here, especially against teams we might see in the playoffs. Whichever opponent that might make us more likely to face, whatever. The most important thing is finding their rhythm.
Yeah, and so I hope that we get a surprisingly interesting game 75 today. And I think if we do, it's going to be because Vegas comes out, you know, in the immortal words of Ilya Bryzgalov, like gorillas. that we get sort of a gorilla performance from the Golden Knights.
Well, and I will say, you know, you mentioned the last time these two teams met, that was a 3-1 win for the Canucks in Vegas back on March 7th. That was one of the Canucks' best post All-Star performances, right? And as much as there has been this idea that, you know, they've lost all of these games to other playoff teams, like, that was a win. They beat Winnipeg 5-0 as well. But you probably would look back at that game in Vegas as one of the stronger recent performances against a really good team by the Canucks. So, you know, I'm curious to see if they can replicate something like that against Vegas tonight. And then the other thing that I think really bears watching is, you know, Vegas, one of their calling cards recently, and certainly in their Stanley Cup win last year, right, was the you know, the massive blue line that made it so hard for teams to get inside, to get into the guts of the ice, as Rick Tocchet would say. Well, that blue line's healthy now, right? Like, Alex Petrangelo is playing. Alec Martinez is playing. Shea Theodore is playing. Noah Hanifin's there bringing some extra size. So up front, they're still trying to get healthy. The defense is there, and we all know what a point of emphasis getting inside has been for Rick Tocchet. And if you look at the numbers, the underlying numbers over the last month or so for the Golden Knights, it kind of backs this up where, you know, if you just look at shot attempts against, they're kind of middle of the pack. But if you look at high danger chances against, they're one of the best teams in the league, right? So teams are getting their shots, but largely from the perimeter, and they're struggling to get into those high danger areas. That's the kind of chess matchup or the, you know, tactical matchup that I'm most curious about today is, that's been such a point of emphasis and such a struggle for the Canucks. Can they do it against, you know, one of the biggest blue lines in the NHL in the Vegas Golden Knights?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be, it's kind of the mirror image of what we've seen all year with Vancouver's defense, honestly, right? Because Vancouver's defense, I think, has gotten to the point where you can see the seams of how hard opponents have to work to break the Canucks down. That's kind of what Vegas had going for it. Now, if you're going to say to me that Vegas, outside of not employing Quinn Hughes, is better 2-6 than Vancouver's blue line, I'll probably agree with you. But like, I don't think it's a different thing entirely. It's like a different degree. But Vancouver has the end thing going.
Over the last month, Vegas third best in the league in terms of limiting high danger chances. Vancouver fourth, and like it's basically the same number. So they've been almost identical over the last month in that respect.
Yeah, and I think there's some stylistic similarities in terms of how they're defending well, right? Like Vegas isn't a trap team. Vegas is going to try to forecheck you. They're going to try to take advantage of your sort of errors and giveaways. They're going to try to wedge you in the neutral zone. Like, they're going to play defense over 200 feet as opposed to some of the more passive defensive teams, LA, that we've seen.
Yes.
So, you know, I think it's a pretty interesting matchup. Obviously, the key difference is, as we've seen, and it hasn't been true for all this season, but the thing Vegas did best in the playoffs last year was just rigorously create chances.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, you know, the next level here.
Well, and I think, yeah, as much as there's that similarity on defense, on offense, what we've seen from the Golden Knights is really, really prioritizing those high danger chances, right? Mm-hmm. So they don't necessarily fire away from all angles.
No.
Like the Carolina Hurricanes, they hold the puck, they try to get that cross ice movement to generate those elite scoring chances, and that's an area where the Canucks could maybe take a page out of the Golden Knights book. Easier said than done against really good playoff teams.
Absolutely. Somewhat fewer point shots.
Yes, maybe. All right, anything you want to chip in the broadsheet here?
No, I got
it. Right. Okay, lineup notes. We covered it all yesterday. Lineup notes today. Optional skate per Sportsnet's Dan Murphy, who's down in Vegas covering this one. Interesting, though, to note that Thatcher Demko is on this trip, and Murph said that he took the ice just as some of the other players were leaving. So getting work in with goalie coach Ian Clark is Thatcher Demko on this trip. The first theoretical day that he would be able to play would be the last game of this three-game road trip, April 6th, against the LA Kings. It would surprise me a little bit if he plays that game, but Monday, April 8th, against Vegas again, if he's on this trip, if he's getting on the ice, getting in that work with Ian Clark, that starts to look like a pretty reasonable guess for when Thatcher Demko might make his return.
Yeah, and at this point, the return is not, I don't think, as much predicated on like the recovery side as much as the making sure he gets what he needs to be sharp going into the playoffs. So that's sort of an interesting dynamic to monitor here.
So getting you, as you mean, getting enough games or enough reps in, right? To just get his,
just be feeling yourself again after a relatively long layoff, which, you know, again, the club's hopeful, more than hopeful, confident is going to be an edge for them.
And if you just look at it, you know, they got, so let's say he does come back against that game against Vegas. They'd have five games left. It goes Vegas, Arizona, Edmonton, Calgary, Winnipeg. So three playoff teams, two non-playoff teams. Would be pretty easy to give Demko the playoff games, right?
Yep.
And to Smith the non-playoff teams. That would make a lot of sense. It's spaced out. It gives him three games, but doesn't tax him. Well, and then you go from there.
Yeah, and you play him in game 80 and seal up the division. I mean, that to me makes sense.
Yes. So that would make a lot of sense. As I mentioned, optional morning skate, so no line combinations or anything like that, but really we can't bank on anything, at least as far as the forward group is concerned right now.
DeSmith will start. We do know that a defenseman's going to draw out because Zadorov's going to come back, so that's going to be an interesting one to monitor when the club finally hits the ice for morning skate. And then we'll see what happens with the forward lines. I bet we see the same lines, don't you think?
Maybe. I don't know. Rick Tocchet, like, usually after a win, it's not a bad bet, but I thought the press conference after Sunday's game sounded more like a Tocchet loss press conference than a win. So I don't know. Like, I didn't get the sense that he was
overjoyed,
looking at that like, oh yeah, I've got something here and I'm going to keep running with it. So he could. It wouldn't shock me, I guess, but I wouldn't be at all surprised if there was more of a lineup mix, especially, you know, given the commentary from him on Sunday, like, we got to get guys going, you know, certain guys we need more out of. I think that's often what leads to the tinkering in the lineup, right? Trying to get certain guys going. So we'll see. It's going to be really interesting to see when they take the ice and warm up.
I wouldn't be shocked by a change to the bottom six. Did you think the Pod Colson Baines line was particularly good?
No, but
you didn't think they were particularly bad.
No, and I also think
I thought they were poor.
With Lindholm out of the lineup, and there's no indication that he's going to get back in today, even though he is on this trip. Like, once you load up the top six, your options in the bottom six are pretty limited at this point. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I would like to see the young guys separated, though.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, I'd just like to see something a little more like, you know, Mikheyev, Podkolzin, Bluger, Suter, Lafferty, Baines. Something a little, or something like that. You know, you, honestly, interchange the two vets, Mikheyev, Bluger.
Yeah.
But I think I'd like to see a little, something a little more balanced if you're keeping the top six the same, just because I did think there were moments in that game against the Ducks where it was like, wow, you know, you have a couple injuries and you've got, you know, Juulsen, who's played well, but you've got like a Juulsen, Cole, Baines, Bluger, and Podkolzin all on the ice at the same time. And it's like, you know, that's not the same like high floor minutes that this team's been leaning on all season at the bottom of their lineup.
Yep.
Right? I mean, I think a big reason for this team's success is you haven't had those like liability minutes, mm-hmm. as it were. And not that, yeah, I thought there were moments where that combination, like the bottom of Vancouver's lineup, even against Anaheim, looked a little bit chancy.
Yeah, the point about who draws out on the blue line is going to be really interesting as well, because as much as this has been just framed as load management, I also don't think we know who the first six defensemen, like the first choice six defensemen for game one of the playoffs would be. And we're, you know, as we said, just 2.5 weeks out. I think it would still probably be Noah Juulsen on the outside looking in, but I don't think there's any guarantee of that. So going to be interesting to see who comes out.
I think that's how it'll look.
Yeah, I mean, that would be my guess for sure at this point. All right, playoff forecast, as I mentioned also on the Vegas Golden Knights side, no Tomas Hertl, although it does sound like he'll be back later this week, so maybe by next week's game against the Golden Knights, Hertl will be in the lineup. Playoff forecast, shout out to the St. Louis Blues. They take a point. Well, they got 2 points. Oilers got one, so Oilers drop 1 point against the Blues by losing in overtime last night. That bumps the Canucks' chances to win the Pacific Division up to 70%. They were 65% yesterday per Dom Lucision's model at the Athletic. So
that's
not
a smaller jump than you'd expect, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think if it had been a regulation loss, I think you'd probably see the Canucks up to like 75 at least.
Yeah.
So I think the fact that they still got that point.
I wonder if the dynamic is more at this point about the Canucks dropping points.
And I also wonder how much,
obviously both have to happen, but
how much the like game 80 is factoring into this.
Right.
Right. Whereas, you know, if the teams are just kind of treading water equally before game 80, like really it's just going to come down to that.
Mm.
So still 70% is 70%. So it's I don't want to say a significant jump in the odds, but still they're in a strong position.
I'm not really taking the Pacific Division race all that seriously. And you know, last night, win or loss, I don't think I was going to be today either.
If the Canucks get the 2 points tonight, I'm going to be really interested to see what the number is tomorrow. Cause that feels like, yeah, you're getting pretty close to locking it up at that point. Like Edmonton would have to just go on an unholy tear.
100%.
Especially if
it's 70%.
Yeah. Especially if it's a regulation win tonight, because the Canucks do have 40 regulation wins to Edmonton's 35. Now, look, obviously, if Edmonton tears it up in the final nine games, they'll pad that number. But there's a good chance that not only does Edmonton have to match the Canucks number, that they have to surpass it. So I think there's a lot of paths here to the Canucks taking home the division.
Yeah, it's going to take a collapse at this point.
New most likely playoff opponent as well, Nashville at 35%. So I think reflecting the likelihood that the Canucks win the division but don't win the conference. So they're the second seed. They get the first wild card team, which is looking more likely, although far from a guarantee, to be Nashville. Second most likely playoff opponent is Vegas at 30%. And of course, the really interesting thing about the potential Nashville matchup, or at least for me, one of the interesting things is that they play their final game next Monday. In a couple Mondays from now, on the 15th. The Canucks play on the 18th. So if there was a potential April 20th start date, that would be like a ton of rest for Nashville and no rest whatsoever, basically, for the Vancouver Canucks. So that's something to monitor. But I will still say, we've talked about it so much on the show, if you had to make me choose a playoff opponent for the Canucks to give them the best chances at moving on, I'm taking Nashville right now.
The rest angle is an interesting one.
It is.
So I'm convinced, obviously, about the value of a play-in. And for me, this is partly why, like, you know, the Canucks season ends on Thursday, the 18th. But if you drew up the schedule so that it ended on a Saturday with like 16 games. Like every team plays ideally like Prem style where they all play at
all the same time. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's just like a complete smorgasbord where everything has to be settled. And you had a world with a play-in, right? First of all, the Canucks would at this point in the season be like heavily competing with the Avs to at least be second, because you'd want to play a team that had to play extra games.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like there'd be a meaningful cliff between the first and second team and team three in the conference. But also, you know, you structure it, if you structured it like this, like where teams 7 and 8, right, play on the Tuesday following the end of the season, right? The loser of that game is going to have to play again. Then teams 9 and 10 play the very next day, the Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And the winner of that then has to play a back-to-back. You see what I'm saying? So yep. So if you are the 9 or 10 seed, it's not like you're equal to the other teams. You actually have to win back-to-back to make the playoffs. And in this scenario, you'd have to win back-to-back to make the playoffs, and then you'd play game one of the playoffs as a third and four nights
on Saturday
against the one seed, further amping up the stakes for seed number one.
Because that, like, that's going to feel really, if let's say that scenario unfolds, right? They play Nashville. Nashville ends on Monday. The Canucks end on Thursday, and then the two teams play on Saturday. Like, I think the Canucks are going to have a very valid grievance if that's the case.
Oh, yeah.
That's brutal. For you to be the
wild,
the seed that did way better in the regular season and earn that position, and then to get thrown a roadblock like that in round one, that's tough.
Well, this is why, by the way, the play-in for me is important, because it's people say like, well, you can't treat the Minnesota Wild like they're a playoff team. And it's like, well, I'm not. First of all, they'd have to win twice and then play the number one seed 3 and 4 if they even made it, right? So that's completely different treatment. Like there's a meaningful cliff between what the way this format would treat the Blues and the Wild, and the way it would treat the Kings and the Golden Knights as it stands. You'd also have a ton of drama tonight, because the biggest story in the sport going into this stretch of the season would be Vegas, Nashville, LA. Who's going to avoid the play-in?
The play-in, yeah.
So that would be incredible stakes, because there's an additional cliff between 6 and 7. And then you have that other cliff between 2 and 3. Where it's like you can play a team that's going to have had to play an additional 60 minutes of Wild hockey while you've had a week off before the playoffs start on Saturday. I mean, to me, like giving the best teams in the league a bigger advantage.
Yeah.
You know, Boston last year facing the Panthers, right? The Panthers should have been tired at least. Like they should have at least had to work there at their way there. But you'd advantage the teams that perform the best, and you'd create all this tension that right now you look at the NHL standings, not just because the Canucks have it sewn up, it's around the league. It's like the stakes are so minimal, you have to like squint and stretch and fake it just to get to a point where it's like, this game's anything at all. Anyway, that's my rant.
And I will say, in the NBA, which has of course adopted the play-in, one thing that I've found fascinating is that there's been, clearly in public perception, there are now playoff teams and play-in teams.
Right.
And it's like a pejorative. Like, oh, that's just a play-in team.
Totally.
Right? I'm not saying the exact same thing would happen in hockey, because that's one of the arguments against it, right? Is like, oh, there'd be 10 playoff teams, and they'd use, like, general managers would hold this up, like, hey, we made the playoffs, and that's why I'm doing such a good job, and they wouldn't sell. I hope what would happen is the same thing in the NBA, whereas we'd recognize those teams 7 through 10 are of a complete different class than teams 1 through 6. That's what's happened in the NBA. I don't know if it would happen in the NHL, but
now,
I hope it would.
Now, that said, I just want, just in the interest of fairness, I do want to point this out. Last night in the NBA, the Chicago Bulls lost by 12 points to the Atlanta Hawks. However,
and clinched the play-in spot.
However, because of I think it was Brooklyn's loss or whatever.
Yeah.
Because Brooklyn lost to the Indiana Pacers by 21 points or 22 points, they clinched. And it's like, Bulls clinch ninth play-in spot because of Brooklyn Nets loss.
Did they pop champagne in the, like, woo, we did it, guys.
Although, that said,
ninth.
Canucks just clinched the playoffs on a 4-0 Sharks win in which the Blues got booed off the ice. So that stuff happens. To me, that's not a big enough drawback to avoid going to a far more sensible and interesting standings alignment.
Betting odds.
Canucks are road dogs tonight. Plus 105 in Vegas. Vegas minus 125. Over-under set at 5.5. And the steam is on the under in this one. the market's looking at two elite defensive teams expecting elite defensive play. Even though both starting goaltenders are unlikely to be in. Well, yeah, I don't.
But Logan Thompson's played pretty well this year. I mean, as Casey DeSmith
played really well, especially over the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, he really has. So not exactly like weak goalies necessarily.
I don't know. I don't like the under there. I don't usually put my finger on the scale, but I feel like this one's going to have some fireworks.
By the way, I was reading on our favorite story, the Jaunte Porter gambling story.
Oh yeah, let's go.
Sirat Sohi had a great piece at the Ringer about it, and she talked to one of the gambling experts at the Ringer, and he used the phrase "steam." Sometimes you'll see, like, from these Discord servers, a lot of steam come in. I was like, I did the Leo meme. I was like, there it is. Steam. It came up outside of our show.
Yeah. Legalized online gambling has turned us all into
Jaunte Porter.
I was going to say Zach Hyman's dad. Like, straight up, like, fair weather penny pants, like some industrialist who's just like, we need more steam. See?
Zach Hyman's dad. The Monopoly man. All right. We'll take a break. More coming up on the other side. It is Canucks Talk, Sportsnet 650.